So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. The Bible says like this, or let me give you a moment to get there for you three that are going to be finding it in your Bible. You saved ones. I'm kidding. There you, all right, I see the Bible. So don't be offended. Don't start throwing them at me. Amen. Here's what it says. Now, when all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord spoke to Joshua saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from each tribe. And command them, saying, take up for yourselves 12 stones from here out of the middle of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet are standing firm, and carry them over with you and lay them down in the lodging place where you will lodge tonight. So Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the sons of Israel, one man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross again to the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. And each of you take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Israel. Now, verse 6, I want you to underline. Let this be a sign among you, so that when your children ask later, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall say to them, because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever. Thus the sons of Israel did as Joshua commanded and took up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, just as the Lord spoke to Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Israel. And they carried them over with them to the lodging place and put them down there. And then Joshua set up 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan at the place where the feet of the priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant were standing, and they are there to this day. In verse number 19, in the same chapter, it begins reading like this. And now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day, the 10th of the first month, and camped at Gilgal on the eastern edge of Jericho. Those 12 stones which they had taken from the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. He said to the sons of Israel, again, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall inform your children, saying, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed, just as the Lord your God had done to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, so that you may fear the Lord your God. Father, I pray that you would bless the reading of your word, and I give you praise, glory, and honor for all that you do and all that you are in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. 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 Brother Corey, could I get a little bit on the monitor? Out there is fine for me. I just need a little bit on the monitors. In April of 1863, in Columbus, Mississippi, after decorating graves of her two sons who served during the Civil War as Confederate soldiers, an elderly woman also decorated two mounds at the corner of the cemetery. An observer asked her, "What are you doing? Those are the graves of two Union soldiers." The reply was this, "I know. I also know that somewhere in the North, a mother or a young wife mourns for them as we do ours." That little band of ladies set into motion what became Memorial Day. Memorial Day is set aside each year to remember those who have gave their lives in the armed forces. We remember those who died on the battlefield far away from our lands for freedom and democracy, and they did so for oppressed peoples. We commemorate their actions by honoring them in ceremonies across the land. Tomorrow there will be ceremonies all over the place. We decorate the graves of fallen heroes with flags and with flowers. And when Israel crossed the Jordan River to enter the promised land for the first time, God commanded Joshua to pile up a mound of stones at that place, that these stones were to become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever. They were memorial stones of God's great grace and of God's saving grace. And you may say, but Pastor, why do we need to remember? You, so many times you tell us to forget, because Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, I reach for those things which are ahead. But there are times you've got to have some memorial stones that stabilize you during the hard times. You've got to remember where you came from if you ever want to enjoy where you're at today. You just can't completely forget where God brought you from. There are some memorial stones in my life where I know God has brought me from there to here, and I continue to enjoy the blessings of God, but I never forget where God brought me, because if it had not been for the grace of God, where would I be today? And so I remember on that Sunday night in September of 1984 when I gave my heart to Christ in the sand hills of Florida, when I prayed a sinner's prayer and asked God to forgive me of my sins. I will remember that day till the day that I die, because something happened inside of me. Something happened in the spirit realm, and it is a memorial stone to me to this day. Well, why do we need? Point number one is this: the need for memorial stones. Why do we need them? I'll tell you why. Because we have short memories. We have short memories, and we have a need to have a memorial stone along our life so that we cannot or will not forget what had happened to get us where we are, not only as a person, but also as a country, but also as a body of believers. See, I remember on October the 10th, 1993, was my first Sunday in this church. I remember June 8th, 2008, when we moved into this building. There are some memorial stones that I will never forget, because I remember what got us here. Come on, somebody. I remember what got me here. Some of us need to remember as a country what got us here. We forget about the sacrifices that people have made over the last century to get us to where we are. And if you don't remember from where you came from, then you begin to lose the value of your history. Deuteronomy chapter 6 says this: beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve him, and shall take oaths unto his name. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are all around you. For the Lord your God is jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord your God be aroused against you and destroy you from the face of the earth. Now, if God delivered Israel out of Egypt and he tells them, don't forget what I did for you, how much more than you and I, who have been delivered out of spiritual bondage, that we don't need to forget who delivered us. It was not a preacher. It was not a church. It was not a denomination. It was God himself. It was God that delivered you out of that. So why should you entangle yourself again with the yoke of bondage? We've got to recognize and realize the same God that delivered me yesterday is the same God that is preserving me today, and it's the same God that goes before me and makes my crooked places straight. Oh, I'm preaching better than you're amening. Understand this, church. We remember the soldiers of the cross that blazed the trail and given us the freedom to worship a trustworthy God. See, I remember the Sally Turners of my life. You've got to remember those people who helped you get to where you are today, who helped deliver you. Many times when the danger is past, we often forget the God who helped us. How many times have people come and been asking God, Lord, help me, Jesus, and God helps them, and then they forgot where their help came from. How many times did we come and we, you know, it's like, I forget the movie, but it's an older movie, and the guy decided he wanted to kill himself, and he swam way out into the ocean.
And he decided, but as he swam, he began to remember everything that he had to live for. And he began to swim back. He said, Lord, if you'll help me, if you'll help me get to shore, I'll serve you the rest of my days. He got a little closer. And he said, Lord, if you'll help me get to shore, I'll serve you for the next 10 years. He got a little closer. Lord, if you'll help me, I'll serve you for the next 5 years. When his feet hit the ground, he says, what? Well, then forget it. I won't even serve you. And everybody had a big laugh. Now, I'm not laughing as a pastor because I see that happening every day of my life. I see that happening to people who I remember came to the church broken, busted, and disgusted, and God put them back together. God saved their marriage. God held them together. I know some that maybe their marriage didn't hold together, but God held them together. But then over time, they begin to forget who it was that brought them together. They begin to forget who it was that held them, that they didn't lose their mind, that they're not in some sanitarium somewhere with their drooling out of their mouth. They forgot what God did. Baby, you better remember who it was. You need to have a memorial stone that if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I don't know where I would be, but I know that I wouldn't be where I am today. And today, on this Memorial Sunday, I give God praise. Hallelujah. You see, we should never forget what we were and where we were headed before Christ redeemed us. In Christ, we can move out of our past into a meaningful present and a breathtaking future. Secondly, what are the use of memorials? Use of memorials. It is to teach our children of God's power and of God's mercy. See, some of you need to tell your children your story of where God brought you from. No, I don't want them to know about that. Listen, I understand that. I remember walking in on my wife telling my oldest daughter about my BC before Christ. And I walked in, it was a Wednesday night, we had just got out of church. And I walked in and my wife was telling me, what are you doing? She said she needs to know. She asked me about it. I go, you ain't got to tell her everything. And you want to talk about embarrassing. Because my wife was just like, bleh. She just told it all. And my I think she was about 14 or 15 at the time. And she just kept looking at me. And then big crocodile tears coming out of her eyes. I went, oh my God. I used to be her hero. Now I'm her zero. And then she got done, and I said, I'm sorry, baby, that was before I knew Jesus. I said, do you think any less about me? And she goes, no, Daddy. She said, it explains why you crazy about Jesus. She said, no, Daddy, it explains why you dance the way that you dance. It explains why you worship the way that you worship. I now understand why you worship the way that you do, because God delivered you out of. You've got to remember, baby, you need to tell some stories about how God delivered you. I'm not talking about giving the devil any due or the devil any glory, but you need to give God all the glory that I once was lost, but now I'm found. I used to be this, but now God has turned my life around. Hallelujah. He said this, make this a sign. In verses 6 and 7, this may be a sign unto your children when they ask the fathers, when they say, what does these stones mean? Here's what you're going to tell them. Tell them that the Lord dried up the Jordan for us. That's how what it means. In verse 21 through 24, what does it mean? Let your children know, saying Israel came over Jordan on dry ground. Memorial stones were to serve as a basis for sharing faith with their children. Memorial stones. Let me tell you what Karl Marx said. Now, many of you will know what Karl Marx said, who Karl Marx is, but some of you might not. So Karl Marx is the founder of communism. Here's what he said. If you can take away a people's history, then you can change their culture and eventually change their mind. See, that's why we got to be careful. That's why you need to teach your children the history. Teach your children why this country was founded. Teach your children that doesn't matter what the liberals are saying. It doesn't matter. We were founded on Christian principles and Christian doctrines. You need to tell your children about the reality of what life is. You need to begin to remind them. Don't let them take your history. Tell them, and not only about this country, but then tell them about your history. Tell them about your history, because let them recognize and realize that if God did it for you, that he can do it for them. The enemy is banking on you not to teach your children the ways of God. Well, but Pastor, I just decided that I want them to learn on their own, because if I make them go to church, then they're going to resent it, and I don't want that. Well, then don't make them go to school. Because if you make them go to school, they're going to resent school and they won't. No, listen, we make them. The Bible says train up a child in the way it should go. That doesn't mean just let them make their decision. Train them up. I teach them. I tech them. You know, listen, you got to recognize one of the problems in America today and in the world is that the children don't know anything about the absolutes of God. And so the moral compass, there is none. You need to teach them what the moral... Listen, if everybody knew the value of life, there would be no abortion. If everybody understood the value of life, there would be no murder. If everybody understood that God doesn't like stealing, there wouldn't be stealing. If everybody understood, if everybody lived by the word of the living God, there would be no need for lawyers and judges. Come on, somebody. The enemy's banking on you not teaching their children that. Look around you in the world today. With the catchphrase is tolerance for everything under the sun except for Christianity. We're tolerant of everything. Muslims, Hindu, whatever it is. We're tolerant of everything except for Christianity. Why? Because the devil knows that this country was founded on Christianity. And we need to remember why we are who we are, and that we're Christians and we're part of the United States of America. Come on, somebody. Christianity is never more than one generation from extinction. If we don't teach our children, why do we spend money and time and energy and resources on training up our children and training up our youth? Because we want them to know, because I know some of you teach your children, but there's a lot of kids that come to church that don't know anything about Jesus. You talk about Bible stories, and they don't know anything about Bible stories because they have no memorial stones. Because we don't talk about it. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. If we don't do our part to do the things God has told us to do and miss training up the next generation of believers, then we're almost done. The British poet Samuel Taylor once had a discussion with a man who firmly believed that children should not be given formal religious instruction, but should be free to choose their own religious faith when they reached maturity. Coleridge did not disagree, but later invited the man into his somewhat neglected garden. And here's what he said. He said, "Do you call this a garden?" The visitor exclaimed. "There are nothing but weeds here." He said, "Well, you see, I did not wish to infringe upon the liberty of the garden in any way. I was just giving the garden a chance to express itself." And if you will do that with children, that's what you're going to get. Then we've got to weed, and we've got to, you know, when my oldest daughter was getting out of the house and was going to college, and I knew she wouldn't be under my tutelage, she wouldn't be under my house and under my influence, and I was so upset. My friend, one of my best friends who's gone on to be with the Lord now, Herman, he said this to me. He said, "Ronnie," he said, "you didn't make her make right decisions. You trained her to make right decisions." I said, "Come on, somebody." See, that's what we do. We train them to make right decisions. We don't just make them make right decisions. We train them to make right decisions. Here's another reason. Here's another use of memorials, is to reach others with our message. Joshua 4:24, "that all people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord that is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever." See, another purpose for the memorial being placed here is that all people of the earth would know that the Lord alone is God. And one of our main functions as believers is to be a witness to a lost and a dying world. Now, and I understand people, you know, people don't want to be browbeat. I understand that. I don't want to be browbeat. I mean, I've told this story several times. Many years ago, I got off of a cruise ship down in Tampa, and there were people, and there were some street preachers that were preaching with a megaphone and was calling all of us sinners and all this thing. And I'm thinking, bro, you don't even know me. Just because I got off a cruise ship don't mean I did sin on the cruise ship. What's up? I mean, it aggravated me, and I'm a preacher. You don't know me. You don't know me? What? I didn't do it, but that's what I felt like. You don't know me. So I don't mean about browbeating people. But baby, if you got memorial stones in your life, you can't people just can't pass your life and not know it. People can't come into your life and hang around you and not know it. If people know that your golf score, but they don't know you a Christian, something's wrong. And I don't mean because you wear an I Love Jesus bumper sticker. Honk if you love Jesus. What would Jesus do? Well, there, WWJD, what would John David do? I mean, you know what? That don't mean anything. But your life is a memorial stone. How you live your life is a memorial stone. He said, here's what Jesus said. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that you may see your good works and glorify your God, your Father, which is in heaven. Quit trying to prove your case about God and start living out your case in front of your friends and loved ones. Jesus loves you. I can't stand you. My dad told a story about a man who wouldn't go to the house of God, but finally his wife was a faithful member, and finally he went. And man, when they got there, the preacher preached hell, fire, and brimstone. And she was like, oh, good gracious, Lord. And man, he was hitting it hard. Hell is hot. And blah, 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 blah. Just on it. He got up and he goes, I'm never going back to church. She goes, no, come on, please, let's try. He said, I'll try another church. He said, okay. She said, okay, let's go. We went to another church. Got there, and man, that preacher started preaching hell, fire, and brimstone. She's like, oh, my Lord Jesus. And then when the man got done, when the preacher got done, the man got up and went to the altar and gave his heart to Christ. And she said, what are you doing? The guy last Sunday preached the same message pretty much. He goes, here's the difference. The guy last week acted like he wanted me to go to hell. This one acted like he didn't want me to go to hell. See, that's the difference. The difference is the love of God. The love of God. Come on, somebody. You see, trying to get people to serve God, not because you want another feather in your cap or another jewel in your stone, but you want them to serve God because you don't want them to go to hell. You love them enough to tell them the truth. That's the difference, baby. That's the difference. See, listen, we understand we don't need any more closet Christians. We don't need any more secret agents, double agents, don't even know where they're from. And I'll tell you something else we don't need. We don't need no more cereal Christians either. Fruit, nuts, and flakes. What people need and are hungry to see is real people with real problems serving a real God that has helped them through real trouble but has brought them to the other side. That's the difference. We serve a real God. You cannot hide a city that is set on a hill, nor can you hide a noble, worthy, steadfast Christian life. Point number three is this, the nature of memorials. First of all, it's enduring. First of all, it's enduring. Verse 7 says, then you shall answer that the waters of Jordan were cut off before us. I got to hurry. The witness of the memorial was to be a perpetual declaration of the power and delivering hand of God. Here's what Proverbs 22:28 says. Remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set. See, I remember the story of how my dad got saved. He walked down a sawdust trail under Oral Roberts when he was preaching. My dad, my grandfather, and my uncle went to the tent to make fun of the people who were there. And my grandfather and my uncle, also, they made fun of the people who were there. But my dad got something, somebody hear me, that lasted him for the 60 years left on his life. He got something that changed his life, that forever set the course of his family's life. People want to do away with what got us here. We used to dance and sing under the power, and now we have become so sophisticated and learned, and we've become so learned that we don't want the Holy Spirit to do anything unless we understand it. Can I tell you that the Holy Spirit will take you places that you don't understand right now, but will let your learning catch up with you? We've got to continue to let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit can do, because He can do more in 5 or 10 seconds than you can in a lifetime. He knows what's going on inside of your life. He knows what's going on inside of your heart. We don't want to dance anymore like we once did. But I've come by to tell you that there's still power in the dance, and power in the shout, and power in lifting up your hands, and there's still power in reducing what the power of hell is trying to do in your life through praise. America, I'm trying to quit. Help me. America as a nation has sought to remove landmarks of Christianity. 1962, prayer in schools was declared illegal. Let me just say, as long as there are tests in schools, there will always be prayer in schools. In 1963, Bible reading in schools was declared illegal. In 1980, declared illegal to post the Ten Commandments in the schools. Removal of any Christian vestige in our holidays. They tried to take Christ out of Christmas, and so forth and so on. So many ways. Listen, here's what I know. That in 1962, prayer in school was declared illegal. But it wasn't declared illegal in your home. See, here's my problem, church. My problem is when the only Christian, what's the word I'm looking for? When the only Christian exposure that your kids get is at church, then there's a problem in your home. There's a problem in the home if you expect Pastor Travis or Pastor Anthony or even Pastor Ronnie to give you all of the Christian schooling or Christian instruction. No. It ought to come from mom and daddy. Wherefore, Hebrews 12, seeing we are all compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. It's enduring. Let me tell you another one. It's unmistakable. Joshua 4 and 8, and the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord spoke unto Joshua according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. Carried them over into the place where they lodged and laid them down there. The 12 stones represented each of the tribes' deliverance was for all Israel. The stones came from the river bottom, declaring the miraculous deliverance power of God. Our testimony ought to have significance and be clearly understood. See, you know my testimony. When God saved me, I wasn't at the bottom of the barrel. I wasn't strung out on drugs. I wasn't an alcoholic. Matter of fact, I quit drinking about a year before I got saved. Why? It was a monetary situation. I realized that was stupid. Why would I spend the money drinking and then throw it up? That's stupid. I was a good money manager even before I got saved. I said, this is stupid. When I got saved, when I gave my heart to Christ, I had the world by the proverbial tail. I was on my way up, man. But there was still something missing. There was still something missing. Let me just tell you, fame won't do it. Riches won't do it. Nothing will replace that hole in your soul, because there's a Jesus-shaped hole in your soul if you don't know Jesus. Well, I gotta quit. Point number four, real quickly. What is the Christian's memorial stones? The first one ought to be salvation. Can you point back to the day? Can you point back to the day? You know, even my daughters, I can point back to the day. Wait a minute, they were raised Christians. Just because you was raised in church don't mean you saved. I'm not throwing off on them, anybody, but I met a Methodist preacher that began to talk. And we began to talk about the day he got saved. And he said to me, you know, I don't know if I've ever asked the Lord to come into my heart and forgive me of my sins. I said, wait, you're a pastor. He goes, I know I've been through seminary, but I don't know if I've ever done that. Because he was just raised in church all of his life. So we had a small prayer meeting. I go, it might sound strange, but I'll lead you. And I led him in the sinner's prayer. And it was one of the craziest things I've ever done. He was like, I feel so much better. And I said, well, if you really want to get crazy, there's another part to this thing. He said, what? I said, there's a baptism of the Holy Ghost that you can have. He goes, I've heard about it. I've read about it. I've been interested in it. And he didn't get it that day, but about 2 weeks later, he got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Matter of fact, he had to leave his church. But your salvation ought to be a memorial stone. I'll tell you another one. It's water baptism. The day that you said, I'm no longer going to live this lifestyle. The old man is passing away. Behold, a new has come. Let me tell you another one. You may go, church. The church and church membership. You ought to be involved in a church somewhere. Well, I don't even like this church. Well, get involved in one you like. You need to get involved. Be a part of a church. Because there's no such thing as a non-serving Christian. Because Christian means Christ-like, which means I do the things that Christ did. Well, I want to do the raising of the water, or the raising of the dead and walking on water. Well, can I tell you that he washed feet before he washed sin? Woo! My God. What's my next one? The Lord's Supper. We take that every fifth Sunday. That's a memorial, man. You need to understand. He said, every time you do this, do it in remembrance of me. And when I receive the Lord's Supper, I remember what Jesus did for me. I remember that he died for my sins. I remember that he was beaten 39 times so that I could be healed. And then last, our lives. Our lives are memorial. The life that you live today. You know, pastoring almost 30 years now. I started when I was 6. I can't say that anymore. I'm starting to look my age. Pastoring 30 years now. I've preached a lot of funerals, man. And so many times people have come and asked me, Pastor, do you think they made it? Whew, what a sad question. What a sad question. Now, first of all, I'm not the judge, so I don't know. But what a sad question. 33 years ago, I laid my mother to rest. 2.5 years ago, I laid my father to rest. And there's not an ounce of doubt in my mind whether they made it to heaven or not. Not because that I'm skewed by my love for them, but based on what I read in this word, there is not an ounce of doubt in my mind. What about if you died today? What if we were having a memorial service for you? Will there be people that go, I wonder if he made it? I don't want there to be an ounce of confusion when I die. I've said this many times on several people that I've preached funerals for, that if they didn't make it to heaven, I don't stand a chance. I want to make sure that when I die, that my children, my family, that they say, "I, without a doubt, that was a man of God. Without a doubt, that was a Christian. Without a doubt, he is in the arms of Jesus today." And the only stone that I have, when it's all said and done, they will put a memorial stone on my grave that will say 1965 dash whatever the day is. And can I tell you, what really matters is the dash. How did I live? The start, okay. The end, okay. But what happened in between? Prayerfully, they'll say his life was a life you could follow. That's a memorial stone. Every head bowed, every eye closed in this place. On this Memorial Day weekend, maybe you've never asked the Lord into your life. I promise you, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to come up here. As I do this, if the Spirit Life team will begin to move to their places. I promise you, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to come up. But if you're here and you don't know Jesus, but you want to, would you just slip up your hand and I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Anybody in this room, just put up your hand. You can put it right back down. Nobody's looking around. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm going to assume that everybody knows Jesus in this place. Then here's what I want you to do. Everybody look up here at me. Come on, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. If you need prayer or want prayer, our Spirit Life team is going to be ready to pray with you. But I want you to take inventory. Memorial Day is not just another day that we get to cook out and have some ribs, which I plan on doing both. Not just an off day that you get to go out on the water, and I plan on doing that, God willing. Not just an off day, man. But it's a day to remember. Memorial Day is a day to remember. On this Memorial Sunday, I want you to look at your own life. I don't want you to get depressed. I just want you to look at it. And let's say, is my life a living memorial? Because I know people go, "Ain't nobody's business. It's my life." No, no. You're connected, man. I'm sorry. You're connected. And you're either leading somebody down a good trail or a bad trail. Just take a moment. Inventory. Remember, Lord, is my life a good life? Is my life, am I living a life pleasing to you? Just take a few moments. Holy Spirit, do what you do in this place. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Ooh. Yeah. Hallelujah, Jesus. If you need prayer or you want prayer, you can begin to move. And I'm just going to pray a prayer over you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yeah. Ooh. Father, I pray over this congregation today that, Lord, our lives would be memorial stones. That, Lord, that we would look in on our life and make sure that we have the first one, salvation. That, Lord, that we would have a baptismal memorial stone. God, that we would get involved in church somewhere and have another memorial stone. God, that we would remember the Lord's Supper. God, I pray for every person under the sound of my voice, that you would convict their heart, that you would move by your mercy, move by your grace over their lives, Lord, and let them understand that they are building memorials as they live. And let us live one that is glorious and is consuming unto you, God. in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.